here who are on the panel identify key questions that they wanted to answer along three general areas. The first one is an analysis of the current period and social change. The second one is the need for organization and organizational practice. And the third area is working together to build the left. So panelists picked a couple questions from each section that they wanted to answer. They'll each have 3 minutes to speak to the questions that we'll go over. And then before the 3:30 break, we'll open it up for some conversation amongst panelists. I'm sure there'll be some great productive differences. And if people have some ideas and burning responses that from the audience, so that would be great as well. First, we'll just go down the line. If I could ask the panelists, whenever you speak, if you could just stand. They'll introduce themselves, their name, their organizational affiliation, if they have one, and a line about the organization, just to describe it.
Hello, everybody. My name is Beth Gonzalez. I'm from the...
You put it way close.
Way close. Okay.
Hello, everybody. My name is Beth Gonzalez. I'm from Chicago. Representing the League of Revolutionaries for a New America. I started out pretty young during the Watts Rebellion. I just realized something was going wrong and it needed some big change. I was pretty young. I didn't know much else, but that was not 1965 I'm talking about. And I was fortunate to, so I came to my passion for my moral commitment and political commitment pretty young, at a time somewhat like this when there was revolution in the air and revolutionaries all over the place. I was fortunate to come across an organization, a set of people who didn't just talk about the fight, but really studied the science of revolution and the science of organization of revolutionaries, and through many stages of development came to be the League of Revolutionaries for a New America.
My name is Jamala Rogers. I'm from St. Louis, and I'm with the Freedom Road Socialist Organization. That organization is a little over 20 years old and represents a merger of several other left and Marxist organizations. We have a table in the back there with literature, and we hope you'll stop by and take a look at some of our contributions to the left movement. Thanks.
My name is Peter Little. I'm from Portland, Oregon. Somebody from Portland. And I'm with Bring the Ruckus. We're a relatively young group. We're a small grouping, kind of drawn from people who came out of what was called the anti-globalization movement and its failures, but also drawing from organizations from the 60s and 70s through the 80s, such as Sojourner Truth Organization and Love and Rage. So we're a cadre organization, anti-authoritarian, and I think probably talk a little bit more about where we're at and how we're thinking about things when we get into it. But I'm excited that everybody's here. This is really touching and inspiring, so.
So I'm Harmony. You say where I'm from is always challenging. I live in New York City, and I spend a lot of time in the Bay Area. In New York, I'm part of something that we're calling the Party Study. We have a study group, which Dee is also in, and a lot of folks in the room, of individuals who come out of social movements, most of whom are organizers, some of whom are also students and intellectuals. And we're thinking about trying to come together to increase our collective knowledge about left organization so we can get clear on what's necessary. Right? Some people are in organizations, some people aren't. Also, just for transparency, when I was in the Bay Area, I was a member of a revolutionary organization, STORM, standing together to organize a revolutionary movement. We disbanded several years ago.
My name is Stephanie Luce. I live in Western Massachusetts. I teach labor studies at the University of Massachusetts Amherst, where I'm active in my union and in living wage campaigns. I'm a member of Solidarity, which is a group that formed in 1986, and it considers itself a revolutionary, democratic, from below, anti-racist, feminist, revolutionary socialist organization.
Hi, my name is Mei Ying, and I work Bay Area. I work at Soul, the School of Unity and Liberation, based out of Oakland, California. I'm actually here on this panel representing a collective of folks that currently has no name, but the collective of folks that have been engaged in questions of trying to grapple with what it looks like to engage in revolutionary formation, what it looks like to engage in revolutionary theory, while trying to also engage in mass work. A lot of folks in the room, I think, have also been engaging in these conversations. I don't know the majority of people in the room, so it's really an honor to be here and to be in the front of the room with these amazing panelists. The social forum is about this. So I'm about this too. So thank you.
My name is Manuel Criollo, and I'm a member of the Strategy Center in Los Angeles. My actual work is with the Bus Riders Union. I'm from the occupied territories of the Southwest, and I would say the Strategy Center is a think tank, a center for strategy for anti-imperialism and anti-racism. So I'm hoping to continue this dialogue with all of you.
So what we'll do is we'll announce the question, and then we'll fan from left to right and right to left for the folks who lined up to answer the question. As Harmony mentioned, I'm also part of the party study, but I have to say my mom prefers the order study party. because it's being taped, and I don't know if my mom will. I swear. That wasn't me last night. The first set of questions comes from the theme, the analysis of the current period in social change. And the first question is, what is your long-term vision for social transformation? And I don't know why, but only Pete volunteered to answer it in 3 minutes. So if you could stand and give us your response.
I want to start by saying we see theory as a moving point. We see it as a reflection of the actions, experiences, and history. So our own ideas aren't rigid, but they're evolving. And based on our study of history, our really modest experiences and the activity that we observe in the working class around us. I think to answer the question, what is your long-term vision of social transformation, we have to ask the question, where does socialism come from? And we see the working class as a revolutionary class, one that is always struggling internally between its experiences, two conflicting experiences. One is the experience of the flaws and the failures of capitalism, and the other is the experience of ruling class ideologies, and these are the ideologies of racism, of individualism, of patriarchy, and the list goes on and on. Socialism, we think, is not inevitable. The collapse of capitalism is, however, and if people have doubts about it, they should open, you know, one of the contemporary science journals, and I think there's ample evidence that we're perched on a collapse that we may not be able to face. So the question really is whether the working class will succeed in building socialism or whether we'll descend into real barbarism. The new society, we don't assume that it will triumph automatically. We think that an uprising is necessary, but we do think it exists embryonically. And it's not a monopoly on power, on tanks, guns, and prisons by the ruling class that stops this from happening. Because after all, we make the tanks, we make the guns, we are the armies, and we run the prisons ourselves. So we think that it is contradictions within the class that are the greatest obstacle to building a revolution in this country here and now. We understand that white supremacy is intricately intertwined with gender, but that these two things are the cornerstones, the very pillars of the maintenance of the existing social order in the United States. We think that it's the experience of the failures of capitalism, the experience of the contradictions, and it's out of that experience that the socialist society is going to be built. So it's not the role of revolutionaries, and it's not the role of organization to bring socialist ideology to workers. Or to identify the failures of capitalism, because I think workers are already all too aware of the failures and of the inadequacies of this system to make their lives whole, fulfilling, or even to survive underneath it. We think that there's a widespread cynicism about all the organs of official society. And so it's the role of revolutionaries to actually reflect back the struggles that are most capable of shattering white supremacy and gender and making a full break with the existing institutions of domination, be they unions, foundations, or parties themselves, and to develop new forms of organization.
We've been asked by the translator to slow down a little bit. I know you all have 3 minutes, so I'm not going to be as completely hard on you as I was on Pete. Pete and I in the same organization, because you're not here. I'm willing to do that with somebody in my own organization. Imagine what I will do to y'all. But we're going to take a little, just to make sure, we have a little extra time. We want to make sure that the translation can keep up. So, you know, we'll slow down and we'll do it. Next. This goes to Manuel. What are some of the key debates facing the U.S. left today?
Well, at this point in history, from our perspective, anti-imperialism in the center of a white settler state has to be the highest form of politics. It's the core of whether we really agree and the form of any real political unity, and the central building block for a carefully and slowly reconsidered and reconstructed socialism. Socialism must be built on the resolute anti-racist, anti-fascist, anti-imperialist united front. These are both the building blocks for any real socialist possibility and organization, but the defining politics to defeat any form of neutral on fascism, weak on racism, weakly anti-imperialist socialism that would be a social chauvinistic socialism that would actually hurt the struggle against fascism, racism, and imperialism. From our perspective, the centrality of the black nation, of oppressed peoples in the United States, because from our perspective, this country is not one nation under God, but one nation under the gun. And it was contrived through slavery, indigenous peoples, the taking of lands from native people and other peoples in this land. From our perspective, we need to really build our unity based on this integral analysis of understanding our country, and this country in particular, that the main enemy has to be the U.S. government, the corporation it fosters, and the main force has to be, you know, the working class, oppressed nationalities of this country. Thank you.
I just want to make an announcement. Because the speakers only have 3 minutes each, there will be a lot of terms that are complex that I know that not everyone knows or are familiar with. When we break out into small groups, it'll really be the opportunity to folks to dig in really deep into the ideas. With that, the next question is, what is the relationship between building strong social movements and the organized left? And we will start with Beth, moving from the audience's left to right.
Okay, well, we take this question to be addressed to revolutionaries, and by revolutionaries, we mean not just people who agree with one another, but people who are assessing what's going on in the world and the steps it will take to get to this revolutionary transformation of society that we were all agreed to. And so in that sense, this question of movement and the revolutionaries is very, very important. And it's important to see, first of all, I think one thing that we all have in common is a real great respect for the human mind. We wouldn't be here if we didn't have that. And I think our approach from the League, the question of the movements is to respect the minds that are out there and the incredible capacity of those minds. So a movement is not just a thing that somebody organizes. It's something, even if it's not clear where it's trying to go somewhere. It may not be conscious of where it's trying to go, but it's trying to get somewhere. And so in that sense, it's the responsibility of revolutionaries to develop the ideological development of that movement. And I wanted to just give one example from some of the workshops that we were in. Went to several public housing workshops, and people were recounting great struggles, incredible, wonderful exposures of what this system is doing to people, wonderful gains that people made in holding off the destruction of public housing, getting this or that accomplished. what this movement needs in order to get what it needs is not just knowing how to get, how to win the battle, but how to win the war. And that's a matter of the human mind. And so we can see that in the question of public housing, everything should be public. People were talking about how the corporations are destroying housing. The corporations are destroying everything. The water supply, the world with the global environment, with the wars, the corporations are destroying everything. We need a transformation of society, not just to win the little battles, but we need the political power to transform society. So we engage with the movement, not by trying to do what the movement is already so beautifully and inspiring in the way it does it, but by giving it a consciousness of a vision of a world, how the world can be, with the tremendous science and technology, we can have a world of plenty for everybody, not just materially, but socially and culturally and so on. Inspiring people with a cause. What is it going to take to get that reorganization of society? The public, common, communist organization, reorganization of society. Don't just monitor the corporations. Don't let the corporations take over society, but society take over the corporations and suppress them for a change. That's the reorganization of society. And to also inspire the movement with the sense of how it's got to ensure what it gains. Is that it?
No, you got 8, 7.
Okay. And that there are countless expressions from our history of a struggle against slavery destroyed because the power went back to the slaveholders. And we need to have a consciousness of that movement.
The question is, what is the relationship between building strong social movements and the organized left? And this really is a critical question because the relationship is very organic and it's inextricably linked. And I feel like one of the reasons why the social movements aren't as focused as they need to be, aren't as impactful as they need to be, is because the left is not as organized as it should be or could be. A little slower. Okay. Don't be putting those five fingers up there.
I got
So it really, really is a fundamental question I think we have yet to deal with. But I think first we have to admit that not only is there a crisis in socialism, there's a crisis in the U.S. left. And I don't think we've even come to a consensus around that. But that needs to really be the starting point. So critical to organizing the left is for us to really, sincerely, genuinely recommit, reclaim our struggle against racism, against patriarchy, against homophobia, and against all those other things. And the reason I say that we have to do it in a very genuine way because a lot of those isms are manifested in our own organizations, our own social movements, our own left revolutionary organizations. And so that really needs to be addressed. So the other piece of it is that we really have to be rooted, as the speaker before me said, in the working class. And I know some of us think that Lou Dobbs has said that the middle class is where it's at, and we really come to believe that. But it is the revolutionary working class that really needs to be organized. And some of our revolutionary organizations have really missed that point, and we end up organizing ourselves or organizing other folks in the middle class. So that is a piece that's sorely missed, and we'll get more into that, and I'd like to talk a little bit more about that. So we have also, one of the things in the left is been unable to really project and describe the kind of society that we really think needs to be built. So whereas we've become really proficient at rhetoric and really good at resistance and really good at description, we are woefully short on building kind of revolutionary organizations and developing the kind of strategy and follow through that this movement needs. And so I really want to have more discussion about that because I think it's the reason why we have all these huge mobilizations around the war, around immigration, but yet we don't have a strategy and infrastructure to sustain any of that. And I think sadly, for me, I really believe that the reason that the Gulf Coast is still on life support is because the revolutionary left has not done all that it's supposed to be doing. And I'm glad to see that on Saturday or Sunday that there's going to be a convening of at least the Black Left to really start to address that. But it's because of our own disorganization and our own lack of organization, even those who call ourselves revolutionary organization, that that piece has not been fully addressed. And so when I see the suffering of the working class, whether it's around health benefits, whether it's around eminent domain, whether it's around education and public education, I know in St. Louis we just had the state take over our schools. So these are the issues that we rarely see the kind of revolutionary organization, let alone organizers in those trenches. And I think that's the kind of discussion that I'd like to have today.
Before I start, I want to give a quick plug, actually, just on this, some of these questions about the social movements and the organized left. Eric Tang, over here, take a raise your hand, has a bunch of surveys. He's also a great comrade. Has a bunch of surveys for folks from around the social forum to address these questions. They're going to post the responses on a website, which I'm sure is listed on the survey. So contact him, fill it out. It'll be great to see how the dialogue comes together on that. But I want to start by saying I do agree with what both Beth and Jamala just put out, that the central question for the left is the question of building social movements, right? It's any left that is not focused on building the capacity, consciousness of social movements is an irrelevant left, and that's a crucial point. I want to put another layer on the question, though, using a framework that comes from Marta Harnacker. She's a Latin American social movement theorist. Right, she makes a distinction. She wrote a piece building the union of the party left and the social movement left. So she makes a distinction between the organized left, the left that is in political organizations, and the left that is not in the kind of left cadre organization, but is coming out of the social movement. Right? And I think what we can see here at the social forum, what we know in our lives, is that there's a left that is emerging from the social movements. And I believe that that social movement left is going to be the basis for revitalizing the organized left as a whole. Right? I agree that there's a crisis of the U.S. left. I think we all agree about that. And I think the organized U.S. left does need to reorient itself or continue. I think the organizations here are great examples of people who are oriented towards social movements. Right? But I think the social movement left has its internal dialogues. It's real. We're coming up against our limitations. Right? The whole conversation about the limits of the nonprofit system, they're real. That's a real conversation. But to me, the root cause, the problem that we're actually addressing is the lack of left movement infrastructure. Right? We're putting it on just the form of the nonprofit. The question is, we need a different kind of vehicle. Right? The social movement left needs a different kind of vehicle. We need to come together with folks who are part of this kind of organized left. Right? But not just leave the social movement left. Right? Be that. We need, our task is to bring coherence, right, to that piece. Right. There's a lot of reasons why I think that's true, but the social movement left is what's going to play the key role. I think our sheer numbers, right? There's hundreds of us, thousands of us, right? In the U.S., the social forum is a great reminder of how many of us there are. I think that the fact that many of us are currently rooted in social movements, deeply rooted in the working class, provides a different kind of left. It provides a basis for a different kind of left to emerge. Right, so I just want us to challenge ourselves that when we're thinking about the relationship between the left and the social movements, we don't leave those of us who are the unorganized yet out of it. Right, but that doesn't mean that we just stay unorganized. Right, we all need to engage seriously in this conversation about what kind of new organizations we need that will bring us together. Right, and bring us together with all these different kinds of formations. Right, so thank you.
I want to just also echo everybody. I really agree with what everybody has already said on this question, and I think it's not a coincidence that myself, coming from this, you know, unaffiliated, you know, trying to be a study group process in San Francisco on the West Coast, has very similar thinkings around what Harmony was talking about, what's going on in New York with some kind of study process. And I think that I was also going to cite Marta Harnacker. She defines the organized left as folks that are standing up against the capitalist system and its profit logic. Am I going too fast? And its profit logic, who fight for an alternative society based on humanism and solidarity. And it's in the interest of the working classes, freeing them from the material poverty and the spiritual misery which is bred by capitalism. So that's what she talks about, the organized left. And I think from this definition, it's really clear that the left is much smaller than we thought it was, right? Because it's not just holding leftist ideas about, you know, what should happen and just keep talking to ourselves in circles. Although that is important to talk and to exchange ideas and to grow stronger, the action component is actually really, really significant. And I think in talking about the relationship between building strong social movements and the organized left, I think it's really important, and we all believe in this collective, that it's really important that we are in relationship to each other, not just us in this group or in this room even, but just having that mutual respect for one another's work, for the progress and process that we're trying to move forward, you know, thinking about these agreements that Dan put up. I think it's really, really important that we are being thoughtful and reflective, both about our organizations and the organizations we are trying to build ourselves and be involved in, but also the organizations that are being built by other folks engaged in other struggles. It's going to take hundreds of thousands, you know, of organizations, popular organizations, engaging in vision and strategy, theory making, people engaged in this work, putting definitely folks of the working class ourselves, you know, at the forefront of that, but definitely engaging in the intellectual work, like what Beth was talking about at the beginning of this question. So I think the mutual respect is a fundamental piece, and I just really want to also leave room for me to not get the fingers. Okay, so I think that all of this points to real challenges, but also immense possibility about how to activate both those who hold leftist ideas and to build the consciousness and activity among the social base. And that's, you know, working class people, that's people of color, that's women, that's gender oppressed people, gay folks, lesbian, bisexual, transgender people, folks that are not necessarily at the forefront of all of the, revolutionary left organizations that we might be most commonly learned on or not. So it's our responsibility as revolutionaries, as activists, to be engaged in building these organizations. So thank you very much, Dan. I appreciate the applause. Thank you.
So now would be a really good time to set your cell phone on vibrate or maybe even silent. I'll wait. Okay, good. This is for Stephanie. What can we learn from the experience of social movements and the left internationally?
So I like this question because for me it reflects, the notion that being a leftist in the U.S. today is really discouraging. It can be hard to get out of bed each morning. But, you know, for me, I like to think I can look internationally and be inspired by what's going on around the world and really learn from what our comrades are doing internationally. And I think there are lessons there that are particularly speak to us as members of Solidarity in our organization. And I want to speak about two things in particular. One is the idea of what we call regroupment. And Solidarity was formed in 1986 out of this idea that the left needs to be working together, that we don't have the luxury right now to be working apart. We need to find ways to work together and come together in a larger movement. And I think that that's going on in much of the world right now in a way that isn't quite yet here in the U.S. We're trying and we're getting there. But I think, you know, looking anywhere from, you know, left parties in Europe to left organizations, even beyond the traditional left in Brazil. And I think, in fact, the idea of the social forum that started in Brazil came out of this ethos, this spirit of trying to regroup and work together. So I think that's one of the lessons we in the U.S. really need to take seriously, is how can we move in that direction. And the second is the concept of democracy. And this is also a very key principle for Solidarity, a principle that we're founded on, is the idea that fighting against what I think the rest of the world is much better at is framing this as a fight against what they would call neoliberalism, a theory that markets should rule and profits should rule, and framing that as markets against the state, and they frame it as the state is bureaucracy, and we need to fight bureaucracy and markets are more efficient. And I think what we need to be saying is, it's not, you know, the state really here is representing democracy and the people. We need to be framing this as markets versus the people. And how do we extend that in a real sense and a deep sense? real democracy. Yes, people are talking about it in, from a variety of left traditions in Brazil and China and India. You know, it's very exciting. People are saying, we need to really figure this out. Because the world we want to win, we're not going to all agree. It's not like once we win the revolution, okay, we're all on the same page. All of us in the room are going to have different ideas about how we want to do things. So democracy means more than just input. It means more than just a vote. It means more than just voice. It also means power that has to come with that input. And it also means responsibility. Responsibility to learn, to listen, to teach, to engage, to work with one another collectively to figure out solutions how we live our daily life, how we produce things we need in the economy, how do we distribute those things that we need in the economy. And so I think that the left and social movements internationally are really engaging this in a real deep sense, and I think that that's where we need to be looking, is how can we build that world in which democracy has real meaning and true meaning, where we can build a society collectively.
Yeah. That was the first kind of category of questions, and that was the analysis of the current period and social change. If there's any room so that we can have the folks who are standing in the doors, if people could squeeze in, that would be great. I know we're already packed in kind of tight, but it'd be great if we could get as many people inside as we could. But again, that was on the question of the analysis of where we are. The next set of questions and answers will really speak to the need for organization and what that organizational practice should look like. And the first question is really built out of the things that were laid out about kind of what are the conditions today. The first question is, what forms of organization do you believe are needed today? What do you think the strengths and limitations are of that model? And this time we will start from the audience's right to left, which means me.
Oh, hey. Thank you. Everyone's getting settled, so thank you, G. So we really think about on this question, what forms of organization do you believe are needed today, and what do you think the strengths and limitations are of that model? Two things that I want to put out is, first, the importance of building off of both the successes and innovations of the socialist tradition, while at the same time developing new ways to address current realities of our current stage of U.S. imperialism. I think Manuel talked about it, articulated it really nicely, talking about U.S. imperialism. I want to clarify, when I'm speaking about the socialist tradition, I'm being inclusive of the anarchist tradition, the revolutionary nationalist tradition, and the communist tradition. So we can discuss that more in the small groups for fun activity. The second piece I want to pull out is the importance of responding to particular conditions that any group of revolutionaries might find ourselves in within the national context. So the national context being really important to acknowledge and be aware of and you know, understanding the material realities. I think it's important at this point for me to back up a little bit. Our collective started off because we all saw the need for a higher level organization. And it seems like everybody is here in this room because there seems to be also this kind of like bubbling in our heads, in our hearts, in our spirits, in our organizations, absent of organization, about this same need. And that's really, really exciting. I think also just noting that the need is also drawing from multiple left traditions. So when I'm speaking about who were talking about the socialist tradition, that we're also drawing from multiple trends, I guess you would say, within that tradition. We are all united in a vision for a socialist society, so I can't say that loud enough. We're all united in a vision for a socialist society. But in recognizing what the question is really asking is, what are the strengths and limitations of that trend and model? I'm turning the page, I'm not sitting down forever. Okay, hello again. I think the fundamental thing that I want to underscore here is that we need innovation. We in the left, we need innovation. And so some would say, you know, generalizing, and I'm not talking to anybody individually here, and not talking to anybody in the organization individually here, but that, you know, the party left that Harmony mentioned briefly earlier is, you know, sometimes small and fractured, disconnected from the social base. So that seems to me to point out, like we all were thinking about in the Bay Area, in this collective, that's the fundamental thing to pull out as
a drawback, a weakness. In the social movement left, a drawback is definitely that folks are not engaging with, you know, we're not engaging with our work with a disciplined enough intention. And so I want to pull that out, and not connecting necessarily the day-to-day with building a revolutionary movement. That's not always at the forefront of what we're engaged in. And so if we can get past that and really work together, then it's like a whole new day is possible. Like people are talking about a new United States is necessary, another world is possible, like this is what we're talking about. And it'll be really exciting to engage with you further on this question in the small groups. Okay, thank you.
So, the question is, what forms of organization are needed today? And I want to underline that today. One of the things that's been important in our study and discussion process is to really push ourselves to think about a form of left organization that is relevant to our time, right? This historical moment, which is a real particular moment in the social movement, to think about something that's relevant to our time, our place, and our conditions, right? So that requires an assessment of where is our movement, right? Where are we and what do we need to take things to the next level? And part of the reason I'm highlighting that is because I'm a believer in the need for a revolutionary party, right? Based in the sort of long-term historical conversation about that with some important remedies for historical mistakes, right? I believe in revolutionary cadre organization that's highly disciplined, has a level of centralism, right, with a huge dose of democracy, right? But I believe that. I don't necessarily believe that that's what we need to build right now, right? Because I believe that where we are is in an intermediate stage. I believe we need to lay the groundwork today to make it possible that we can have a national revolutionary organization that can unite social movements and build central power, right, to really overturn this system. And I think there's actually going to be a lot of intermediate steps in that process. Right. I don't think it's we leave here, you know, we take a vote at the end of this session to form an organization and then we're all in it together. Right. There's many steps, obviously. That would be crazy.
Now you're thinking about it.
If you think. I think there's a lot of steps in that process. Right. To maybe be a little controversial, I think one of those steps in that process is some kind of intermediate organization that includes people from the social movement left and all the organizations that are represented here. That's what I believe. I'm not speaking for my study group. That'd be an error. Right? I believe that that's going to be one of those intermediate steps. I don't even believe that that happened, which is many steps down the road, right? That would be that national revolutionary organization, right? That would be an important step in the process. So that all said, to get to what do we need today? What we need today is groundwork laying projects with each other, right? We need to be in the organizations we're in. I don't argue that anybody should leave the organizations they're in. I think left organizations should continue to build themselves and grow and root themselves in movements. I believe people should start new ones if they think that that's their assessment of what's needed. I think people should start study groups, right, to talk about left organization. But more importantly, people should start projects. This relates to my last point. Start projects to build the coherence of the social movement left, right? I think there's great examples of what that looks like even here in the room, right? I think Tuesday, right, there was a conversation about building the queer left, right? Bring that set of people together to talk about how do we cohere ourselves, right? And be part of a broader social movement. I think the Rights of the City Network, I'm not putting this out as the Rights of the City Network. A lot of people here, right? Right? I'm not putting that out as their intention, right? But I think it's a great model of something where left people are building unity between mass organizations with a real left vision that's building a movement rooted left, right? So again, my reflection, not necessarily their intention. I think that those are incredible examples. I think we need schools like Seoul, right? Many schools like Seoul that are training cadre from different oppressed communities so we can actually change the composition of the U.S. left, right? And make sure it's actually rooted in working class communities, make sure it's actually oppressed people, right? Enough women and queer folks and trans folks are actually represented in the leadership in a deep way, right? Those kind of transitional projects to me, regional strategy projects, strategy conversations inside of different sectors, right? Those are going to be key projects that actually I think will provide a basis for the social movement to cohere, but will also provide a basis for building unity between existent left organizations, right? That's rooted in a really principled way. And I think if we can start thinking, right, that we need to get to a much higher level, but it's going to take steps and work to get there and start mapping that out with each other, I think we're going to get to a better place.
Cool. Definitely going to have to have some notes here. So I think for me it's best to relate kind of the experience of those of us in Bring the Ruckus. You know, this grouping came together out of people that have been doing, I don't know what you might call, activism of very different sorts. People were involved in cop watch work and work around the police. Some of us were involved in workplace struggles. Many of us were involved in, again, what I said was referred to the anti-globalization movement. And in all of it, I think we saw limitations that occurred in just doing and doing and doing and said, look, you know, we don't want to do this forever. And I think maybe this is simple. This is the argument for political organization in some form. But what we ran up against is the legacy of the traditional vanguard organization. And so I think for us, we draw real heavily off a critique of that and are attempting in practice to try to answer what is more a question than it is an answer. You know, what form of organization is necessary right now? How do we build a place where when all of us are doing work, when we're engaged in the daily activity in the communities that we live in, where we can do that critically in a way where we can be thoughtful. And so we believe in cadre organization, and we believe in an organization of disciplined revolutionaries, but we don't believe it is the role of that organization to bring socialism to the masses. And I think I spoke to this before, that we believe that in their daily lives and in their activities, and more importantly when they come together, working people are building socialism right now. It's our job to identify it, to participate it, and bring clarity. Most specifically, we have a framework that we do that in, and we think, again, that white supremacy is central. So we say in the work that we're doing, we have to bring an analysis of white supremacy. We think that gender is central to it, so we say you have to, we must push a feminist praxis in everything that we do, in all parts of the way we participate. We say that it must confront systems that attack working class people of color, and most specifically, it has to stretch the boundaries of political organizing. So, for us, I think we try to approach the task we have ahead of us and the work we do from a position of humility, and that it's the role of revolutionary organization to learn from the experiences of the class, to discover, to document, and to elaborate the ways in which the working class is making the revolution in the here and now. And it's not our job to bring a recipe or a blueprint for how that's going to happen. It's our job to participate, but in a way that's critical and it's reflective, and to build a space where we can do that thoughtfully and do it better, and do it in ways where we don't just produce organizations, produce struggles that reproduce the same things we've been battling all along. So I think for us, we see what we're trying to build more as posing questions and posing challenges than it is as bringing rigid answers and solutions.
The question is, what are the forms of organization that are needed, and what are the strengths and weaknesses of those models? And I really want to stress that I think revolutionary mass organizations are important, that are creating the kind of leaders and the kind of organizers that we will need in the organized left. And so I don't want to leave it out, because some of us are involved in a lot of mass work, but we're not necessarily sort of cultivating and nurturing those leaders that I think are going to be important in the periods ahead. So for those models, you know, I think a lot of us look to the model of Ella Baker and Paulo Ferreira, and those are important models. One of the pieces that I think is being discussed a lot here, not at this, not only at this social forum, but at some of the world social forums, and that is the creeping role of NGOism and not-for-profit ism. And I think a lot of times we sort of merge, like those as part of a social movement, they can be part of a social movement, but sometimes we actually are substituting them for revolutionary organizations. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a real danger. And I really have a lot of views on that, that's, you know, it extends beyond 3 minutes. But I also agree that, you know, part of what we need in terms of the revolutionary left is the kind of cadre organizations that are disciplined, that are about study, that are about confronting the various isms that are not only, you know, in our own organizations, but how to address those inside the community that we reside in. Obviously, the weaknesses of these kinds of organizations, one is just state repression. I mean, the kind of state apparatus that we're dealing with now is probably unlike anything that we've seen before, and some of it we really don't even know, but then you start coming through some of that CIA stuff, we'll find out more. But also we have with us, you know, a very rich history of lessons of the left, not only in this country, but in other countries, and I don't think we've tapped into that enough. I know I've been a part of really revolutionary organizations since at a very young age, and even in those groups, we try to sum up and get that back to the movement so that lessons can be learned. But the idea of working on joint projects, reaching out, having those kind of political and theoretical and ideological discussions with other groups in the left, I think they're very important. And there needs to be more of that, not just on a superficial level, but on a very deep level. Thank you.
Just a quick process point to the panel. You all are speaking, your speed and stuff is pretty well for the facilitators, is that right? Is that cool? So to keep that going, we're gonna do away with the 10 fingers of death. And instead, I'm just at the 1 minute, 30 minutes, 30 seconds, you know, and then time. You'll have, you guarantee at least the 3 minutes. And if you know, you're rushing to try to get all the last in, the translators are gonna miss a lot. So, you know, don't worry, if you get a little too fast, I'll slow you down, I'm doing with the translators, it's a little flexible, okay? So, everybody's doing great, right?
Yeah!
Have we won yet? Yeah, all right, good. Just, 'cause I'm afraid I'm gonna miss it. This is for Stephanie in Solidarity. What struggles does your organization participate in, and why? Follow up. How does your work reflect your political line?
Okay, so what's interesting about this question is that Solidarity actually thinks of itself as an anti-line organization. We're not a line organization. And so I'm going to answer this question for myself, but it's an interesting question to engage in with other Solidarity members. I think Solidarity is probably known most for its labor work. Many of the people that founded Solidarity came out of a tradition of trying to reform the U.S. labor movement and democratize the unions in organizations like Labor Notes and Teamsters for a Democratic Union and other kinds of union reform work. But there's a lot of people that, you know, we also believe in doing lots of other kinds of work in Solidarity, too. So we're engaged in feminist work, and we have a strong feminist tradition in our organization, and anti-racist work, queer liberation work. We're very involved in independent political action, third-party politics. And so I think what's exciting about our group and why I was drawn to it is this notion that what's really, if anything, is the line here is not so much that we are going to say one particular area of work is the crucial area of work. It's more about the method that we take to the work that we do. Because we believe we have to be out there fighting to reform the labor movement, but we also have to be out there fighting homophobia. We have to be out there fighting racism. And what's important is the way in which we engage in that work and the way we approach that work. And what we believe in is this real notion of democratic, from below, self-organization. The concept that we need to look to ourselves as leaders. Slow down. Okay. Yeah. I teach sometimes 3-hour classes at this pace, so. The idea that we need to build ourselves up as leaders, that we reject the model of top-down leadership, a model of markets as leadership, even the model of dictatorship of the blabbermouth, as we've all experienced in political. And we look to the ways that gender and race and class and sexuality shape the ways in which we interact with one another in our social movement work. And then we try to not let those be barriers into the ways in which we develop leadership. And so the method here is that we build each other up as leaders and we self-organize to fight the structures that oppress us in various ways. And so that's what I would say is the kind of work that we engage in solidarity. And I'll be honest that we in the group have different opinions about where we should put our priorities. We're not a large organization, and we know there's lots of different things to be fighting against, and we talk about the best ways to be strategic about the resources that we have, but yet also confront the major ways in which we're oppressed. And so, I think that that's what we're going through right now, is figuring out a way to democratically engage with one another and figuring out our priorities and our strengths and what do we have to contribute. We know as a small organization, we can't be everything to the left. So we try and figure out what we have to offer, and I think that's what we have to offer, is this vision of democratic, from below, grassroots self-organization.
The next and last question for this section is, what are your strategic and tactical aims? What are your key programmatic demands? And we will start with Anbal.
How's everybody doing out there?
Yeah.
I just want to explain a little bit about our own organization. We see ourselves as an experiment, as a left experiment. We were even trying to mess around with that word hybrid. In other words, we also believe that the only true format up to this moment that we know in history is a cadre-led revolution vanguard party. But yet we also believe that this moment in history, we need to figure out how we build an anti-imperialist federation here in the United States. So let me talk a little bit about our strategic aim, our tactical game plan for the day, and then what it looks like in the real day. For us, it is to build the united front against imperialism, and the U.S.-led imperialism at that. And I think one of our main tactical aims at this moment is to build organizations that are explicitly anti-racist and anti-imperialist in the everyday practice. In other words, we believe that we have to massify our message in our base. We can't be separate sort of leftists having really cool ideas and conversations and strategic aims and strategic views, and yet not sort of engross that in our own political work for our own base. And the base, obviously there's a dialectical relationship where the base also impacts your own work. And I think for us, that's why we've led a lot around programmatic demands. I hope folks can get a chance to get our program demand document in the back. It talks about a set of demands that we talk about. One, in terms of everyday organizing, we've been organizing around the freeing of the 2 million. We really do believe that in the United States, there needs to be a real conversation about how we free all the prisoners in the prisons that are primarily black and Latino. I mean, 1 million black folks in prison, that is not just racism, y'all. And that's just not, that is national oppression. That is an explicit policy of this government to allow that people in prison. Two, we talk about open borders. We need to talk about, we are situated in Los Angeles where we look at ourselves as from a very proud tradition of the Southwest as an occupied territory, and we still ingest and we still believe in that view, in that and we look at the Southwest and this country in general. Third, how do we popularize this? We've been pushing this demand called 1,000 more buses, 1,000 less police. So 1,000 police buses sound kind of friendly, but you would be surprised that even in Los Angeles, a demand for basically an anti-racist message against basically pro racist corporations that are trying to construct at the backs of bus riders is not a very popular demand. Secondly, it's the taking on the police. And I think that is a very important piece of work that we need to do, that we need to really ingest our work, that we really need to talk about the racist re-enslavement complex. That's what it really is. It's really trying to re-enslave our people. And I think that we need to address that, and that needs to be the fusion of our own work. In other words, we cannot be a separate organization without addressing it and take these ideas and doing the work out in the streets. Thanks.
Okay, it's kind of like being on speed dating. Everything about yourself and your organization in 3 minutes. And so a couple things I forgot, and I just wanted to on the table, I think we found a spot on the table for our newspaper rally comrades. And if not, Kimberly and Gloria have some copies. We want to welcome everyone to take a copy and look at it. And we also have some pamphlets there. Because there's only so much we can do with 3-minute segments. But on this question of what are your strategic and tactical aims and what are your key programmatic demands, I'm feeling some of the common grappling with some of the common questions, but I think we have a little bit different take on it from some things that, well, I want to start with, I think, from the wonderful platform of the Social Forum, when it said that in order for another world to be possible, another U.S. is necessary. And in that sense, I think that strategically, we want to look big picture on that. In order to secure another U.S., there needs to be a change in political power. The political power has to shift to the have-nots in this country. And so in that sense, everything that we do strategically, everything flows from that strategic conception that is how to empower this developing movement, and it's much bigger than all the wonderful workshops here magnified by 10,000 times. It's much bigger than that. And it's also taking some pretty backward forms that I think some people have indicated. But there's a growing awakening. It's just at its early stages in this country. How do we take that from a scattered social movement to a political movement for the political power to reorganize society? And that guides everything we do. And in that spirit, we look at this question of programmatic demands. The League as such doesn't have any separate programmatic demands from what is coming up from this seething awakening, this seething discontent with what's going on in this country. Rather, we take up the program of the growing class of people who are expelled from the economy, and we're expelled from the economy, abandoned by the government. We take up that program and we go to all sections of society with that program of the class. We go the program of the people who didn't have the gas money to get out of New Orleans, the program of the auto workers who now know that their lives are never going to be put back together. To take that program everywhere, but we don't have separate demands. Rather, we take the scattered demands, sum them up in a way that points toward the scientific understanding of how society needs to be organized and how we need to get from here to there.
How's everybody feeling? You know, it'd be good. A little stretch. Wouldn't that be great right now, huh? Everybody kind of, if you can, just stand up. Reach high. Perhaps, like, there's an ancestor or two you'd like to ask for guidance. And then down low. We're good. Okay. How about one more time? Just real high. And somebody shut.
I apologize.
Okay. I'm going to turn it over to Jean, who's going to do a quick summation of some of the stuff we've heard so far.
Hey, Dan, can we use this opportunity to squeeze in the people who are outside?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I hear you.
Sure.
That'd be great. We will get to that. Let's see if we can make a little bit more room for folks somehow.
There's four seats that are empty right there.
Five. We got. I don't know what happened. Sorry.
All right, that's looking off.
I don't know why I did that.
this is not connected to the TA system. Completely separate. Wow, can somebody press the cool? Whatever happened over there, make that stop. Turn the dial, press the button.
Test, test. Okay, all right, we're back in business. Chief?
Hi, folks. If we could just get back together real quick, if we could just get back together. So I just wanted to do, if you can hear me, clap once. If you can hear me, clap once. If you can hear me, clap twice. Great. So I just wanted to do a quick summary of the first two sections, some of the key issues that came up. Give a chance for folks in the audience to just ask some questions so we can jot them down before we just do the last section. And there are only actually two questions that are going to be asked for that last section before we get our nice 10-minute break. In the first section, it was really around the current situation. And some of the key questions that came up were, what would the relationship be between a left organization and social movements? Around the question of ideology, vision, what is the meaning and functioning of democracy? What is the relationship between the social movement left and the organized left? The need to build a working class base. And what are some of the key issues? The oppression that happens within the culture of left organizations, within organizations, but between organizations as well. In the second section, we heard what are the needs of an organization and how we may get there? What are some of the processes that we may engage? We heard a kind of a echoing theme around building off of past traditions, socialist traditions, but also developing new ways to be relevant to the current situation. How do we assess where we are currently? What is the process to actually get there, that we won't get to a national organization overnight? What are the intermediate steps? And on the question of how, what is the discipline, the study, the method, being democratic from below, reaching out to the mass base so we're not preaching to the choir, building social movements. And so these are just some of the themes that we've heard in the first two sets of questions. And if we could just put very quickly just your name and your organization again for the people that came in later.
Beth Gonzalez, Legal Revolutionaries for a New America.
Jamala Rogers, Peter Rose Socialist Organization.
Peter Little, and I'm with Brenda Ruckus.
Harmony Goldberg, New York Party Study Party.
Stephanie Liu, Solidarity.
Maying Ho, Collective / Souls. I don't know.
Soul
study.
Both
bands. My name is Peoria Labor Committee Strategist.
Great. So I just wanted to get a real quick sense if folks have burning questions that they would like the panelists to take up after we do the third set of questions, which is around working together to build the left. If folks had a burning question that they just wanted us to take down to put in the parking lot, if you could just raise your hand now.
I'm really concerned that we're not talking about other countries, China, India, Mexico. I really want to see out of this forum and this discussion some attempt to bridge with the working class, which is being farmed out of this country into those countries and is being ignored by the media here completely. China and India account for half of the world's population, and increasingly almost everything we buy is from a prisoner-slave labor circuit in those countries. We need to, I think, talk about that and figure out a way to bridge with those populations.
The international question. Anyone else? Burning questions? In the back?
Yeah, I went to see people address the immediate next steps coming out of the forum, the people's assembly, and kind of in that.
What are the immediate next steps? And that's actually a great segue into the next question, the next set of questions. Anybody else?
G.
So she just wanted to echo what one of the members of the audience said about if we could probably bring the priority if we could have a priority of making the struggles in the United States link up with struggles around the world. So she was kind of echoing the gentleman's point there.
Around linking struggles within the United States to international struggles, prioritizing making those international connections.
You said that you were making audio tapes. Can we have access to those after we get here?
Access to audio tapes.
So you can put it by email?
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll put it in an email.
Yeah. We'll put up an email address, and if you can just email a request to that address, that would be great. Sorry. Podcast. As you so much as that.
For the UFO. Nice to meet
you. Is it digital?
Yes.
We can just put it up as MP3 on the website. Okay. So you can, how about we just have a local organization that
how they see their vision linking to the anti-war priority, which I imagine everyone will see as a strategic importance of policy issues and strategies around left and social movement will relate to the anti-war.
How does this conversation relate to the anti-war movement? And these are great questions because in the small breakout groups, you have an opportunity to discuss what's been put out already, and then within your group, identify the three top priorities for building a left organization in a totally consensus-based process, which will be really easy to do. But I think the emphasis will be more around struggling together and discussing things. But these are exactly the sets of questions that in our small groups, we love to have people come together and figure out what the priorities are between what the next steps may be, the relationship to international struggles, the anti-war movement here, et cetera, and so forth. But with that, we're going to move into the last set of questions, and it's really building on the first two.
I'd like to do an update. We got to mention that. Okay. So, this is being audio taped and it's digital, so I guess if I go back to the whole technology thing that was talked about earlier. Anyone after this session, maybe in a day or two, anyone here can go to the website of any of the organizations up here, and you'll be able to download the audio of this session. We can't commit to do that yet on transcription, that'll take a little bit longer. But you should be able to download an MP3, and if you don't know what MP3 is, turn to somebody else and ask. And then, get an iPod. Just trust me. Wow, iPod's cool. So, and you'll be able to download that. So what we'll do while the next question is going on is we're going to post the website addresses to all the organizations. So you can take that down and download that. Okay?
So the last section is on working together to build the left. Two sets of questions will be asked. The first question is, people and organizations in this room have more unity than disunity, and I hope that's become clear in the conversation. How do we build off that unity, and how do we articulate the differences that we do have? What makes your organization unique? And this is where folks will have an opportunity to be not as nice and say how they stand apart from others here. So if we could start, I guess, left to right, with Beth.
Okay, I'd like to frame a few comments on this in the context of what we can probably all see coming this way. It's what we're preparing for in the spirit of what Harmony was saying. I really like that. What we're doing is preparing for something that is coming. We're not just trying to unite for the sake of unity, I hope, but in order to accomplish something. And so I think we need to step back for a second and look at what is coming our way. The economy could go into some kind of collapse any minute. It doesn't mean capitalism will end, but we could face some sort of economic collapse. War against Iran could happen. We face the prospect of a low rumbling motion toward some sort of mass fascist movement. And I think that the immigration question is where the fascists are really agitating the American people against their interests and for some kind of a fascist movement. There's all sorts of things that we could anticipate that are much bigger than any of our organizations can handle. There's going to be some kind of break in the continuity of development here, because what we're dealing with is not just more and more of bad capitalism, but something new going on because of the level of globalization and how that is changing, how electronics and robotics is replacing people and changing the whole composition of the global workforce. So anyway, not to go into that too much, it's in our papers, but I think in that context we have to consider, do we want to build the movement in order to build the left, or do we want to see what are the stages of building whatever of the left in whatever form it might be in order to empower the movement to get where it needs to go, to carry out its capacity. In that sense, I think we would look forward to a day where people can unite. Maybe it'll be sooner than we can accomplish some sort of agreement on what we all think, but we can get to some point where there's a unity, at least an operating unity, on the basis of the program of those at the bottom of society. And the League of Revolutionaries for New America is committed to that. In the meantime, we need dialogues that give us more than 3 minutes to do that. But we also have, the League also has an infrastructure of schools, publications, analysis, and we invite you to partake of those. But also that's how we hold ourselves together as we disperse out to this broad social movement.
So for all the speakers, workshops, people are changing right now, and so if you could just speak, really raise your voice, at least for the next 15 to 20 minutes, that'd be great. Thanks. Chief? No.
So, the question of what makes us unique, I think, I can't restate enough for us that, you know, we're an organization that understands class as a foundation, but we say, in all of the mass work that we're doing, if we're not confronting institutions of white supremacy, if we're not taking on gender and patriarchy, the work that needs to be done isn't happening. Another thing that I think, along with other portions of the conscious left and other parts of the class as a whole, we have a real critique of authoritarianism and the relationships of power, and something that has really led us towards is debating and thinking about this idea that the fight that we're in is a three-corner fight. It's not something that we embrace, but it's really drawn out of that. Not only are we confronting the state and capital in the struggle that we're waging, but that we also have to recognize that right-wing populist movements and authoritarian movements are also organizing on the revolutionary instincts of portions of the working class. And if we don't take that on, if we don't have an analysis of that, and we don't confront that, we may take on the state, we may take on capital, but if we don't analyze who's on the other side of them, we're in big trouble. So in coming towards the question of where do we build unity and where do we build alliances, I think that's a real starting point for us. And I don't mean that in a sectarian way, because I think beyond that, this is the place where it needs to start. I think as people that are involved in movement building work and they're trying to think about it, we need to start engineering broader conversations about how we think about things and about how we do the work we're doing. I think beyond that, this has to be worked out in activity. And if somebody, I don't know who brought it up earlier, but I think they made one of the best points that's been made so far. What would have happened had all of us in this room, these organizations and the social movements, been able to coordinate and say, Katrina's here, what are we going to do about it? I think we would have seen something entirely different. So I think the question that's posed is critical. I'm not going to pretend to have all the answers, but I think that's some of how we're coming at it. So.
I want to just make sure you speak up, everybody.
Yeah, excuse me, I got a little peanut butter in my mouth. Not right now.
you know, building unity, I think we've attempted almost... Hello? building unity, I think, you know, we at Strategy Center have attempted almost every characteristic or project that's been out there to build the left and to build the social movement. You know, many of us were involved in, you know, another process to really begin this conversation where, you know, we came out with this statement. It took us almost 2 years to come out with a statement, but a very important statement. We're a group of socialists and anti-imperialist organizations committed to rebuild the presence of the revolutionary left on the U.S. political landscape and fighting for global justice. I think that's a very important, you know, basis of unity for us. I think, unfortunately, what I think happens at the end of the day is that when we go back home, we can't fight for the same demands. And I think that's why we have to come back to the same question, is what are we fighting for? And what are we fighting? And who are we fighting? Who do we see as the enemy? We have a lot of tactical alliances. We have a big reach with the environmental justice movement. We've got a big reach among folks who are doing work around the prisons and prison reforms. They're very important tactical allies. I think, unfortunately, what we haven't found is really strong left allies who are based on looking at the United States as an empire and is basing their work to be anti-imperialist and anti-racist. And I agree, a lot of the internal struggles in our organizations happen. In other words, we address all the important components. You know, I think we probably at the Bus Riders Union have one of the largest queer-identified working class, you know, base. And the basis of unity is not based on, you know, their identity. It's based on we're taking on a common enemy. But yes, we address almost every single form of oppression that we have to discuss, and we face it every day. I mean, we take our politics out in the streets, and I think the limitation from our part is that we do have a lot of, you know, internal unity inside the organization. And so when we go out into the world, it's much harder to figure out, can we even have a basis of unity around anti-racism? Can we have a basis of unity against imperialism? As a very flat form. And I think we haven't found that yet as being the basis of unity that we can build at this moment.
This is the last question for this section. Okay. The question is, what can we put in place in the here and now to begin to lay the path towards strong left formations that can overcome obstacles we've discussed and that will make revolutionary change and will not be run-on sentences? What can we put into place in the here...
What is to be done?
What is to be done? But it's the 21st century, so it's what can be, what is to be done?
What, dude? What's cool now?
We're going to start here on the right, so it's...
Meg, you lead us off.
Dude's not cool anymore?
Cool's not cool anymore.
I appreciate that. Okay, so I want to start by, let me repeat the question. How many minutes do I have left? Okay, what can be put in place in the here and now to begin to lay the path towards strong left formation that can overcome obstacles that we've discussed and make revolutionary change? Both and. So I want to just start by saying that I don't at all pretend to have the answers. It's been said several times up here on this very humble panel. I don't pretend to have all the answers, but I have hella questions. A whole bunch. And I also very, very much believe that we are the ones that we've been waiting for. I can't say it as eloquently as June Jordan, but I can say it again. We are the ones that we've been waiting for. Ooh, okay. Give yourself a round of applause. That's right. So Harmony spoke about it. Other folks have definitely spoke about it. I'm going to come back to the idea of study groups. The collective study groups, thinking about the steps that will take for us to really be in this work more prepared for the long term. Am I loud enough? Yeah. I think we need to be engaged in, you know, study groups, engaging in experiments, stretching our ideas around leadership, around democracy, you know, like, you know,
engaging in these conversations, pushing each other's buttons, you know, stretching our own thinking, engaging with a praxis orientation. I really appreciate that Pete came back to that. Talking about a higher level of organizations, both study and practice, and that includes 3 points. That includes study and theoretical development, that includes programs of activity, and that includes space for evaluation and reflection on our practice. And when we're talking about practice, we are talking about things like, you know, how to be engaged democratically, how to be engaged with feminist orientation and practice, how to be internationalist, and really exploring what does that really mean? What does that look like? I mean, it's a whole bunch of questions, right? So how do we continue to ask these questions of each other and challenge ourselves and each other as comrades to answer them, to really be disciplined in pushing ourselves to be theory makers in our change making? Yeah, I feel like all of this is all of a larger part of a larger process of developing revolutionary visions to guide revolutionary strategy to be implemented by revolutionary organization. So on that, hopefully that brought up a whole bunch of more questions, again, to be discussed when we have more than 3 minutes. Thank you.
So I think a lot of us have had some experience in our lives of being part of social movement organizing that had a little bit of success, or even maybe a great bit of success, but then we watched that perhaps have a fleeting success. And I think what we need to really think about is how to learn the lessons from the past on how we can maybe continue those successes, those upsurges, into a more sustained upsurge. So some of the failures of our past movements, we see that we can experience these dramatic moments of upsurge, such as May Day last year, the fight for immigrant rights. But internationally, look at the workers' struggles in China, workers fighting in the shop floor and walking out of the workplace. Farmers fighting for their rights of their land in West Bengal, right? So we see these places in history where people come together and it can move quickly and rapidly escalate. And that's a fantastic moment, but it's also a moment that can go either way. And I think, in a sense, what I want to say is maybe what we can put in place in the here and now is us as intervening in social movements and being bringing these guidelines, for example, to practice into those social movements. But when those upsurges happen, that we say, hey, let's take a minute and go with the upsurge, but remember the lessons of the past, the failure to have an international and intersectional approach to our work, the failure to look to non-traditional leaders and let, you know, the so-called, you know, usual suspects take the lead, the failure to have transparent decision making, the failure to have an accountability structure that says, you know, we all understand who's making the decisions in this moment and why, and the failure to ward against co-optation of our movement leaders. So I see what we can put in place in here and now is, I'm going to keep harping on it, but this notion of democratic practice, so that when these upsurges happen, we are there as social movement participants and to help breed leadership among those moments to say, let's not get fall into the same traps that we fell into in our history, to keep our history alive and say, this is what happened before. We had movements that were class-based movements that didn't take into account gender or race, for example. Let's remember that. At the same time, not to be too trapped by our history and let the new voices also encourage us and inspire us to take new risks and exciting leaps forward. So that's what I want to say is we can put in the here and now is us collectively working around guidelines that say in our social movement activity, this is what we want people to step up and step back, to think about who's leading and why, to think about bringing in new leaders, to being intersectional and international, and to having just a method of democratic practice. Because that moment of the revolutionary upsurge that we have a taste of sometimes, we know it gets beyond us very quickly, right? Like in that moment, it suddenly escalates. And the more of us that are in the room to push that democratic practice forward, the more chance we have to sustain that moment.
So, I would like to start by just saying that I think one of the kinds of things we need to do to lay the groundwork for this kind of organization to actually be able to make revolutionary change is to have the kind of comradely conversation, right, that we've been having.
And I think it actually marks a sea change for the left that this is actually really possible. And that makes me really excited. I think there's four general things that we need to do. You've already heard some of what I think, so I'm actually going to ask you all a little bit what you think. Mostly because you all know, those of you who know me, know how I am in front of people, right? I'm more interested in talking with you. I think in general, the three major categories are to build mass organizations rooted in oppressed communities, but to build them to scale, right? I think people are really struggling with this, and I think the comrades I know are like really working to make this true, but I just want to sort of echo what I've heard from people, right? Is to take those mass organizations and make them really mass, right? Because that's going to be the basis that changes the equation of what's possible in terms of the left, in terms of the social movement, right? Is large, deeply rooted mass organizations in oppressed communities, right? How many of you are engaged in that work? You can raise your hands, right? That's exciting, that number of people. Now, how many of you, those amongst you, feel like there's something missing in that work? Can you shout out one or two, anybody? One thing, couple things, I want to take a few things. What are some of the kinds of things that are missing? A phrase, a word? Shout it. For example, right, international connections, right, is something that people put out, we're putting out in the question. Something we lack is structured international connections.
Insularity in your own issue, one single issue focus.
So we're isolated into our single issues. We don't have connections to other movements that are structural, right? Connections between the workers' movement, the youth movement, the environmental justice movement, right, the anti-gentrification movement.
Consistent commitment.
Okay, people come in and come out, right? People come in, burn out, and leave. Anything else?
Resources. Tangible resources, like space.
Mm-hmm. Consistent resources.
Media coverage.
Media coverage.
Strategy.
Strategy. Important. All of these are important, right? All of those things can start to be addressed, right? In the We Are the Ones We've Been Waiting For spirit, what we need to do is just do it, right? To initiate strategy projects, to develop mechanisms to hold people in the work. Right, whether it's through a lot of the sustaining work that people have talked about, whether it's through training. We need projects that unite social movements, right? Dialogues that bring together leadership, left leadership from the anti-gentrification movement, from the youth movement, from the workers movement to sit down and talk big picture, big strategy. We don't all, that should happen inside the ultimate long-term party that we need, right? Those things can also happen now, and they're necessary to start moving the process forward. And so I want to ask you all, to take that home, that is the next step to me. It's very local, it's very issue specific, but it's actually very global, right? And so I do want to ask us all to commit to that kind of work. Is that good? Can people do that?
Yeah.
Come on now. And then I think the other piece, I have no idea how much time I have left.
Because
I'm doing one.
Could you bring in the crowd? They gave you time.
So I think the last piece is this continuing to unify and build the left, right? Unify the diverse forces, right? Both the different kinds of socialist, like Marxist organizations that are here, but also to unify between Marxists, anarchists, all kinds of socialists, nationalists, right? To build that kind of unity, to be willing to put the hard questions on the table, but still come to each other from our best light. Right, let's put the democracy question right in the middle of the table and talk about it. Right, we're all struggling with it. Nobody has that question on lockdown. Right? Let's talk about it, right? Let's put the question of how we actually do multiracial work on the table, right? How that actually works in a way that represents the interests of different oppressed communities. And I think people are doing that work, right? But it's to start to do that, to engage in that kind of process with each other in a non-dogmatic, non-sectarian way. I think people have role modeled that in an amazing way here today. But I just want to echo, really echo the need to continue that piece of the work. And maybe I'll just close by quoting one of my favorites, Antonio Gramsci. People have heard his thing about optimism, of the pessimism of the intellect, but optimism of the spirit, right? We need to not take anything for granted, right? We need to think hard and critically, but we need to believe that this is possible, right? And so that is the other next step, is reminding ourselves not only that another U.S. is necessary, but if we actually put that time into committing to it, to not forget that that actual kind of transformation in power is possible, and our task is actually to put the steps in place to make it happen. It's hard theoretical work, but it also is about, it's not something we should hold ourselves up with because we don't know the perfect theoretical answer. The theory comes from the practice, right? And so I just want to, I'm excited to work with you all on the intersection of those two things. So thank you.
Obviously, if we're talking about the here and now, there are some immediate things that we can do. But for the Trinidad Socialist Organization, we believe that ultimately it is going to take a party to build the kind of socialist revolution that we talk about. And even though that may be in the distant future, as we have said before, some kind of groundwork has to be laid for that. So for me, the immediate thing is that there needs to really be a detoxification of our movement and of our organization, and in a way that really creates space for new ways of thinking, for new ways of looking at the world, for new kinds of analyses. And I don't think a number of the organizations that we talked about do that. Earlier, there was a comment, I think it was Holly that said that she believed that the left believed that they were in crises and that there was consensus on that. It really isn't. There are some revolutionary organizations and some left organizations that believe everything is just fine and they like moving along with their plans and their programs as they have done for many, many years. One of the things that we try to do to make a contribution to that kind of discussion is which way left, because we really have kind of lost our way. And it's not all entirely our fault. The kind of assault that is we've experienced by the right, really, we cannot take that for granted. And so when I look at even the detoxification of our own organizations and movement, I do have to look at the fact that the corporate media culture is promoting individualism, is promoting consumerism, and so we have to be vigilant against that, because there is an anti-sentiment, anti-organization sentiment that is developing into an anti-organization tendency. And that is being promoted by the popular culture, and that's as another thing that we have to be very vigilant about. But I think when we look at the fact that the groups up here have been working for several months on just this workshop alone, has built a lot of unity and created some bonds that I don't think would have happened. But also these are organizations that we have been talking beyond this venue in terms of what kind of joint works can we, projects can we do. And I do believe that the whole piece around a strategy, what is the strategic demand that we need to be making right now? And I think the war is one has to be considered part of that. It is sucking up millions and billions of dollars from all kinds of other human needs for our people. And we don't even have a strategic goal around that. And so, you know, so there's lots of things that can be done most immediately, but I think really we need to kind of look internally, see what kinds of organizations that we need to be building, start to model that those organizations and that behavior to folks who want to start a left organization. Maybe, you know, Freedom Rose is missing a couple of pieces that you think need to be there. You can start your own, but I think the main thing is not to be sectarian, to invite and encourage a revolutionary climate in this organization, and in this country. And that's one thing that we really, really need to pay attention to. Thank you.
So we're actually at the end of the panel section. If everyone could give a round of applause for this. It's been an amazing 2 hours up to this point, and really look forward. I think a lot more is going to come out of when we break out and get a chance to sit with each other and really kind of dig into these issues. We are going to take a 10-minute break, allow people to go to the bathroom. If you have to go to another workshop, this will be your opportunity. We'll come back at 3:30 and start the second half, but I really want to encourage people not to leave. You find out who Kaiser Sosa is. So,